Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 41 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Jim Viscardi, and Megan Peters is back.
I'm
back. Hooray!
The trio is here.
We were united.
We missed you last week.
You know what I just truly realized? We are like the original trio, because I'm Misty, obsessed with Vaporeon. You two get to duke it out over who's Ash and who's Brock.
Well, he's the one who's got the Geodude obsession.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this also fits, because Hoffer is the tried and true Poke journalist here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there were going to be an Ash, it would be you. So how do you feel being perpetually 12 years old?
Well, you know, it story matches my of inner Christian's child. Life.
There we go.
I was gonna say, do you see what's behind me?
Enough said.
If you are new to the show, you guessed it. We cover all things Pokemon, whether it's the games, both the trading card, mobile, and console variety. We cover the anime, the manga, and we cover a whole bunch of Pokemon stuff.
Yes.
The show is broken up into three parts. First part, we hit you really quick with the news of the week. Then we do a bit of a deep dive discussion into one of the bigger topics of the week. And then at the very end, Christian gives us the Pokemon fact of the week, which has quickly become, in the almost year that we've been doing this, everyone's favorite thing.
That's true. The demands are intense.
Yeah, they are. They really are. Bunch of things to talk about. Pokemon Home. We've got some Pokemon Go news, some anime news, and then our deep dive. We're going to talk about Twilight Wings and kind of go from there, I guess.
Lots of anime to talk about. Some interesting anime.
A lot of anime to talk about.
It was a very anime-heavy week.
Yes, I'm very much in my element, guys. This is excellent.
So Pokemon Home has been out for about a week.
Yes. Most important news, I completed my my Galar Pokedex, thanks to Pokemon Home.
Did you end up moving stuff from Go over?
Or? Yeah, not from Go, from a few of my older games. Okay. So there's like three Pokemon I was missing, and I was able to basically trade some Pokemon that aren't currently available in Sword and Shield on Home for those three species I needed, and then I just moved them over. So that was nice. And I moved my Lucario from X and Y into the game, so I wouldn't have to deal with that whole, like, evolve Ryulu with high friendship during the day. Like, that's just a pain in the ass, because I only play at night. So, so I was like, yes, screw this. Like, just toss them in there. So yeah, I got my shiny charm. So, you know, most important news, good podcast, guys. I'll see you all next week.
I have to say, I love how you went through all of that effort just to accommodate your circadian rhythm.
But here's the thing, like, Christian has a shiny charm and a Japanese Ditto, so if there are any shinies that we need, all we got to do is just go to Hoffer and be like, yo, I want this.
Yeah, we can start
a shiny farm.
You are a shiny factory.
We could start a shiny farm in which people make predictions on how many eggs it takes for me to actually get one of these shinies, because it took me a full, basically 4-day weekend to get a shiny Jangomo. And that was a lot of man hours spent, I'm not gonna lie.
Why that one?
Yeah.
I was like looking for one to like start off with, and I was like, I never actually got like the fully evolved version in Sun and Moon. So I was like, yeah, I'll go and start with a shiny with this. That was a mistake. Because it's the longest, it takes like the most steps to hatch an egg. So it literally took me, like, it was a running joke around the house this weekend. On Monday, I stayed home because it was a bank holiday, and I kept my son home. So me and my son are sitting there, and like every time an egg would hatch, we'd both go, oh, And we did that for 6 hours.
I mean, true father-son bonding. In 20 years, this will be a story that your
He's
dad
He's going to remember that time.
Some kids go fishing, like literally fishing. And then some kids are at their are here with their dad for 6 hours going,
And he'd get ticked at me whenever I didn't do it. Because I was cycling through, like, I think that was, we were at somewhere like 300 eggs.
Oh my gosh.
It was pretty bad.
I mean, I at least admire your dedication.
Yeah, I am a committed, this brings me up to 15 shiny species that I have in the main Pokemon games. Nice. So I did manage to get all my other ones transferred over, so that's nice. But enough about my shiny habits, let's talk about some actual news.
So for those of you who finish or have a full living Pokedex, you get a special prize.
You do. The original color Magearna. This is the little robot mythical Pokemon, the first artificial Pokemon. The original color variant was never actually released before this. We've known it existed. It dates back to Sun and Moon, I believe. But they never released it for whatever reason until now. But you do need to have the full living National Pokedex. It's not just enough to have the full National Pokedex registered on Pokemon Home. You need to have all 890 species in Pokemon Home. And then people still haven't like entirely figured out how this works. So apparently it's a little bit glitchy. So Joe Merrick over at CeraVe figured out that if you have a full living Pokedex and still not showing up, you have to move all your Pokemon one box to the left or right and then move them back in order to like unlock it.
Oh
so
my God, that sounds good.
It's a little bit of a pain in the butt.
Okay, I was about to say you couldn't pay me enough to do it. You could pay me enough to do that, but
well, you can,
it
you
just
can
sounds,
do it.
I know there's like a more manual process that you don't have to do like 800 clicks, but also just looking at the like updated maps of how to transfer all of your Pokemon, some of the equipment you need to do it. Does Some not it, even exist anymore, or no. It's very difficult to find.
I'm not gonna lie, I was on eBay this weekend just trying to be like,
how much does a Game Boy Advance cost?
Like, I still have all my consoles and cables and connectors, but like, I guess my issue is I don't have the patience. Like, I just, looking at that chart, I could not fathom. I could not fathom trying to do
that. Well, that's
why,
I mean, look, if someone made it that far to transfer all of their Pokemon into home, moving them all over a box and then back over again, they're close enough.
Well, the people, okay, you have to understand, the people who are actually transferring these things over have already completed every step up to transferring them into Pokemon Bank.
Yep.
These are into Pokemon Home. These things were already in Pokemon Bank a long time ago. I think that we're the exception of, and I'm sure there are people like that out there who, you know, were like lapsed players or became like super casual at some point and now have like gotten really back into the game, but I feel like that is a small minority compared to either the people who have been transferring their Pokemon from game to game to game forever and ever, or the people who just don't care.
Yeah.
I just can't understand. I just also want to know what, like, specifically Pokemon Home's, like, usage numbers look like now. Like, I want to know specifically, like, how many people...
I would imagine it's pretty high.
Transferring.
Well, I can tell you how many trades there are. As of this moment, there have been 2.58 million trades on Pokemon Home. I've contributed at least like 1,000.
Like, that's not, I mean, that is pretty good. I mean, when you break it down and you're transferring that many, I mean, it makes sense. But, man, I wish I was that dedicated because, like, I still have all my games and not. They're not all fully complete. If I was really determined, I could like boot up the old Game Boy Color and finish up some of those old like things I didn't do when I was like 6 or 7. But kudos to anybody who has unlocked this mythical Pokemon color variant because you deserve it.
I like realized I was like going through. I did all my Pokemon Home stuff transfers over the weekend. I had to dig out my 3DS and 2DS in order to do it all. But I realized, despite the fact that I've gotten the cards for, like, the last 3 mythical Pokemon, never put them in. Those codes are useless now. It's like, I suck. Like, I was like, oh, come on. Like,
you what had is it, wrong with and you me? Let it pass you by. Mm.
So it's got to be a few years till I get those. So nice. I won't be seeing this original color anytime soon.
Rip.
On the mythical Pokemon front, we talked about it a little bit last week, but we finally got a full silhouette of the new mythical Pokemon coming to Sword and Shield.
Yeah, it's a monkey.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited to see this thing pop up in the anime because it's just going to be like the most intense thing in Coco. Also, yeah. It makes sense because everything we saw in Coco was in like a jungle, wild forest area. Makes sense if there's like.
Do we need another monkey though?
I don't think they honestly care what we think.
I mean, they're. Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, it feels a little weird because of Grookey. You know, just yeah. coming out now.
Being
but, you
such
know,
a
this
big
is a
part of that. Like,
yeah, and then we had Passimian and Oranguru, the last generation. I don't think we had any monkeys in 6. In Generation 5, we had those really lame monkeys that nobody likes. The elemental monkeys. They suck. I'm sorry. They are like that was like the point where I'm like, Pokemon design team's not really trying here, now are they? I hate those things. Like, I pass them out in Pokemon Go. I'm like, no, I'm not going to catch that. But other than that, we haven't had a lot of monkeys. Also, we do need to issue a correction from last week's episode.
Yes.
We were reminded, Jim and I talked about how it'd be cool to get a grass-type mythical because we haven't had one since Celebi. Many people commented that we had forgotten Shaymin, the adorable hedge pig.
Yeah.
That's a grass-type. And for that, we are re-apologized.
I only like my big hulking legendaries.
I'll guarantee you if I'd been in that show last week, I would have thrown a fit. Have you seen that adorable little flower crown hedgehog? Have you seen how cute it is?
It is super adorable. And as an apology, Jim is going to fall on his sword here and quit the podcast in shame.
Wow.
And become a nomad. So, Jim, it's been really nice having you.
I feel like that is a bit of an extreme punishment, TBH.
I mean, that's how they do things. That's you know, we apologize for mistakes and then we quit and go into a life of destitution.
Well, in that news.
I didn't play Sun and Moon. You did. You should know.
It's not from Sun and Moon, Jim. See, reason why you need to quit and shame. no, I actually have 2 Shaymin. Like, that's like the worst part about it.
Which game is it from?
They were Gen 4 mythicals, I believe. So, you know, that would have been like the Pokemon Platinum era. No, we screwed up. There's 890 species. You can't expect us to know all of them at all times. Sometimes we just miss one.
Contrary to popular belief, we do not have a giant chart in front of us that gives us the genealogy of all the Pokemon. Could you imagine? Does Pokemon Company have a wallpaper for that? Because
I remember.
I'm telling you what, I would wallpaper.
They
my
had
room
for the, when it first came out. They had a giant poster that had all 151 on there, and I loved that thing.
Yeah. I did have that, and then my childhood home caught on fire, and then it's burned in flames. We can laugh. Everyone was fine. But, like, I've legitimately, like, if I had, like, a house, and they had, like, a really cool, like, Pokedex wallpaper to put in, like, my office/nerd room.
That was kind of something like the original Stitch patterns.
Yeah,
but
like,
for wallpaper.
I don't think you understand how quickly I would do that, and this is coming from the person who, like, has a deep-seated hatred for wallpaper.
Not gonna lie, now that I'm thinking about it, some of those patterns would make pretty good wallpaper.
Pokemon Company. I know you listen to us occasionally.
Get us the wallpaper.
Give me a wallpaper, even if it's just like limited edition. I'll do it. I'm in the market. You got me.
Anyway, outside of the silhouette, that's basically all we know. Basically, it looks like a monkey, and it's coming soon.
Yeah, they'll debut it. It'll show up in the movie Coco, and then it'll appear in Sword and Shield.
We'll find out more in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks.
We finally got to see Big Boy Pikachu. Finally.
It happened, guys.
But here's the thing. Okay, so we'll preface it with, in the anime, Ash's Pikachu can Gigantamax.
Of course he can.
I mean, of course.
Why wouldn't he? It's the most powerful Pokemon in the world.
Yeah, it's the world's most powerful
Does
Pikachu.
That mean Ash's Pikachu came from the Galar region?
No. All right, that was a good talk.
That's a fair question.
How is it a fair question? That's a dumb question.
I thought only Gigantamax Pokemon have to come from the Galar region.
No,
because they are sensitive to the Dynamax energies.
All, All that means is that the Pokemon are sensitive to the Dynamax energies. That doesn't mean that they're from the region. It's just that it only works in Galar, because the Dynamax energy is unique to the Galar region.
But I thought it was more like the Pokemon are based, like all the Pokemon in the Galar region are for all intents and purposes radioactive, because they've been around the energy for so long that that's why
they can.
I
don't think that's been established at all.
So it could be.
I mean,
we're leaving that sliver of opportunity open.
A lot of other ones, some of your other dumb fan theories could also hypothetically be accurate, but they're not.
I want to believe that we Ash's Pikachu is British.
Oh my God. Well, we've heard his voice before in the anime, and it was not British.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
Unless he's lost his British accent over the last 20 years.
Although that could be the alternate universe Pikachu, because we've only technically heard the Pikachu from the I Choose You movie series.
That's true. Talk. Hoffer is actually now bolstering your fan.
No, I'm playing a logic game. You know, I'm connecting the dots.
Right.
We do this all the time at comicbook.com.
All my dots connect.
You know how many times Jim has made me write about fan theories that I think are the biggest load of crock in the face of the planet? Like, it happens, once every 3 months. And I, get all, grumpy on the group chat, and then I end up writing about it because I like money. So, this is no different. This is just me spitballing here.
While y'all talk about, weird fan theories, we can just go ahead and say my theory that Pikachu was going to Gigantamax was correct, and he came back chunkier than ever.
He was so huge. That was my favorite part.
I think not only was it just classic fat Pikachu, my favorite thing is how startled Pikachu was at his largeness.
He was whoa.
He was wobbling around. He tried to do a quick attack and quickly realized he could not move that fast. He was I'm going to quick attack. And then he was can't move. It was, I think, probably the highlight for me, aside from Pikachu and Ash's reaction to
Ash's
Pikachu.
Ash's reaction was priceless.
They were literally oh my gosh. My favorite thing was when Pikachu used Iron Tail, and he was so fat, he couldn't move his tail independently of itself. So he had to grab his tail and smash it on the ground repeatedly. I was crying in laughter. He is the absolute thickest boy I have ever seen my life.
It's weird to me a bit because I didn't think that when Pikachu Gigantamaxed, while yes, he is bigger, but I figured it would have been proportional, so he wouldn't necessarily be acting fat.
Nah.
If that makes sense?
Okay.
I feel like he's the exception. I feel like that's the truth for every other Pokemon except Pikachu.
It's because he's not from the Galar region, so
he's not
so
used to all
used
of that
to
energy
so
being within him. But that was oh my gosh, the moment when he was surrounded by the red light, Pikachu had this face on. He was like, "What have I done?" everyone looked, even Leon, who goes by Dende in the anime, he was even oh no. It's no one had ever seen a Pikachu Gigantamax before. And I was was Pikachu the first one?
They are just going to go gloss over the fact that Leon has a different name in this, right?
They do it with every, they're like, oh, well, this isn't canon, but it's canon. And then they just don't. Anyways, I just refer to him as Leon because that's,
yeah, I mean, they'll change that. They'll change that in the English dub.
Yeah.
There's no way that he's going to continue to be called Dende. They'll just change it to Leon because he's freaking Leon.
Yeah, it'll be Leon, and it's fine. But I just need everyone to go watch.
Yeah.
When he went.
If there
back
was then. Ever an episode to watch, we have been very big fans of this.
Yeah.
This is the episode you need to watch.
It's hilarious watching Pikachu try to be agile and quick like usual, but he cannot move. Because he's so big. Oh my gosh. Godzilla is shaking somewhere.
All right, let's get to the last bit of news before we head on into our deep dive. Pokemon Go has fossil Pokemon only in 7K eggs.
Yeah, so they changed it. They changed the egg pool yet again. This time, now fossil Pokemon are only showing up. So Ryulu, which is the big 7KM Pokemon that everyone wants, is now appearing in 10KM eggs again, because it originally did that, but So it's all sorts of weird. So the kind of like the biggish news is that the new fossil Pokemon from the Unova region are popping up in these eggs. So go and get the 7-kilometer eggs if you want them.
Your enthusiasm is truly stunning.
I'm really sick and tired of the constant changes to the 7-kilometer eggs. Like, I like playing Pokemon Go. It's a nice, fun, casual thing to do. But by God, pick an egg pool and stick to it. Like, it just ticks me off because it's a blatant money grab. It's annoying. Like, I hate that it's been over a year and I still don't have a Ryulu or a Lucario. Because they stick them in these stupid 7-kilometer eggs, and they're impossible to find. Like, you know, there's like a 1% chance of getting them. And I'm sorry, I don't walk 200 kilometers a week. I don't even know what 200 kilometers relates to. So it's just dumb. It sucks. It's stupid, and I'm sick of it.
I'm just going to say this. I did not know it was that rare to get a Ryolu, because I have two of them that I've had.
Oh, screw you.
Like, I really didn't know they were that rare, so I don't have the same anger that you have. Also, I wasn't even aware that they were limited to the 7-kilometer eggs, but you know what? I'll accept.
Well, they've changed it. It was originally both in 10-kilometer and 7 kilometers, and then recently it was only in 7 kilometers, and now it's only 10 kilometers. It's like, make up your freaking minds. Like, who's in charge of the Pokemon Go egg pool? And like, are you just letting a bunch of monkeys do it or something like that? You know, are they just spinning the random reel? Like, oh, this is what we're doing. It's nuts.
You can try to find it. Go on LinkedIn, search Pokemon Go egg pool director.
This has been your monthly Christian Hoffer rant.
Yes. We almost made it through February without me going off, but it just wasn't meant to happen, guys. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk about Twilight Wings, the other Pokemon anime that is taking place in the world of Sun and Moon, Sword and Shield, when we get back.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right. Twilight Wings Episode 2. I know there's only been two, but these are way too touchy-feely for me.
They're so good.
They're beautiful.
It's the look of the anime. But I don't mean touchy feely in the bad way. I mean, like, I experience a lot of feelings having watched both of them.
Yes, they're very layered and emotional.
They're gorgeous. The score in them is just like, whoa, like that's what really like freaking mm-hmm. gets me. And it's just I don't know. It's just like just even watching. Okay, sorry. Back up a little bit.
Yes. Please, you're just already gushing.
This week's episode followed B.
Yes.
Who is the Stow-on-Side trainer in Sword.
Yes.
Yes.
Who you saw in the first episode get beat by Leon and his Charizard.
Yes.
Yes.
She was kind of taken to town.
Yes. And so she is in a Corviknight air taxi, gets dropped off in the middle of a desert, forgets her phone in the taxi, which we will come back to.
Mm-hmm.
Forgets
most
her
phone. Most reliable thing ever.
I mean,
the dude is like, hey, are you sure you want to be out here? And she throws her Pokeballs up in the air and a Machop, Machamp, and Machoke all come out of it. And she's like, yeah. I'm going training.
They go out to like the wild area. So at this point, if you're listening and you haven't watched it yet, like stop. and then watch the episode. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, spoilers. There's not, I mean, there's no real plot to these things. Like, these are very much just like short story.
Oh, yeah. They're very like vignette-y. Yeah, they're very anecdotal.
You just call it a vignette-y?
Yeah. It's a very vignette-y kind of thing.
Yeah, it's vignette with vignette. Y tacked on. Okay. Yeah. Turn it into an adjective.
I thought you
there.
Were saying vignette as vignette-y, and I was like,
no, I took vignette the noun and made it into an like a descriptor. Okay, vignette.
Sorry.
There was an M dash or a dash in there if you could.
She gets dropped off in the desert area of the wild area, gets stuck in a cave, and feels bad.
She beats up a Rhydon with her hands. Yeah. Like, you glossed over
like the fact
most important thing that she's got a freaking death wish.
A Rhydon comes out of the crack of a cavern in like a full on like sandstorm. And the first thing B does isn't, oh, well, let's run away. Let me send out my three Pokemon right here to fight it. She beats them to the Rhydon.
She is determined to win. Now, here's the thing.
No, she is determined to die.
Okay. So, all right. So, Christian has very
fatalistic ideas of what she's doing.
Well, Christian has an opinion about B. But here's the thing. Megan and I both played Shield.
Yeah.
So we don't know what B's personality is actually like in the game.
Yeah, I have no idea.
In just watching this, she feels like she is someone who is just, she's very determined to win. She is basically one of those people who she's probably got on Instagram and the only thing she posts are workout photos.
True.
Absolutely true.
Right. Gym
and songs. You know, and like inspirational quotes and stuff about like pushing yourself to be better.
Is that
what she is like in the game?
Yeah, basically. I mean, she doesn't have any like Sam Darnold moments where she's seeing ghosts on the battlefield. I need to appreciate that one, Jim. In sports references that only you and I will get. So she like freaks out about seeing Leon and then goes into full like, I need to have a death match with a Rhydon. Which was ridiculous. I mean, she's pretty, she's determined. Like, I didn't mind that. I just, it's like, listen, kid, if you want to go and die in a desert, that is your business. But leave the poor Machop at home. Like, what did Machop do to deserve all this? Like, all Machop wants is to feed this girl a freaking candy bar. And, like, she's like, no, I need to go and train against a Machamp. Come on, Machamp, fight me. And Machamp's like, I literally am a martial arts expert. And I can throw things miles with my hands. And she's like, fight me, dang it. And like Machamp like goes and like punches her. And she's like, ah, you broke my arm. And Machamp's like, what do you think's gonna happen here? I'm a Pokemon that's literally made of muscle. Like, have you read any of my Pokedex entries? And she's like, no time to do Pokedex entries. It's like, must train. Let's go and hide in a cave. Oh, it collapsed.
Wait, but wait a minute, because we got to back up a little bit, because if you, a super, super quick recap of the first episode. First episode basically is with a sick kid who presumably is in a hospital.
Yes.
Watching Leon and B fight.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman Rose comes to visit. Mm-hmm. You know, the kid wants nothing more than just to meet them. And Chairman Rose takes off in his Corviknight air taxi.
Yes.
This starts, though, and Chairman Rose is talking about B and having, you know, lost and whatnot.
Yeah.
They are not related, correct?
No.
No. Okay. But I mean, he just keeps tabs on all of them.
Oh, that's what I thought.
He's her boss.
Okay. That's what I thought. But part of me was like, wait a minute. Is like she her kid or something? And then I was like, well, probably not, but I'm going to ask anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that is clear.
Yes.
So the connecting from episode one to episode two, not only is it just focusing on B, but is the Rose aspect of it who is talking about B and her, you know, she apparently does this often. Because that's what Rose alludes to. She's like, yep, she's going off on a vision quest again. Because
And you also get to see a little postcard that the sick boy made for Chairman Rose and Leon. I mean, mean, it's a really quick thing, but it's nice to know that there's like that inner continuity, but they're still very much like standalone. Yep. You can watch whatever you want. But I know at the end of this, I mean, there's a very, I don't know, there's an emotional moment in a cave and there's some crystals and some tears. And
yeah, like she's almost like, yeah. We have to find another way out. And she gets to this point where it looks like she passes out and then, but she doesn't. And then all these crystals appear and she's like, oh my God, I've been such a terrible trainer. Goes back, yes. Apologizes. Yeah. Is about to eat the candy, finally eat the candy bar the Mat Shop gives her, and then notices that there's some light reflecting on it, and she's like, I'm going to do this, and tries to like pull the rocks off, almost and then dies. Realizes that she almost freaking makes the entire cave collapse on her. Then yeah. So her team comes to her, and she's like, you idiot, I got to hold these up now. But then they get out, and this would never happen.
No.
Corviknight Taxi Man shows up and like, I've been looking all over for you.
You left your phone.
You left your phone. Here it is.
Absolutely not what would happen.
Would never happen.
That thing would have already been pawned off.
Yeah. That phone's already gone. It's gone.
Probably at Spikemouth City. Yeah. Like, how much can I get for this phone? Oh, we'll give you like 40 Pokecoins deal.
Yeah, the thugs have already gotten it. The rowdy crowd.
Even with how absurd this episode sounds, and with how we all have just described it, it is still crazily enough, oddly emotional and touching.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like such a good, like, I mean, the score, the swelling moments, there's mm-hmm. some amazing artwork of the wild area. It really makes you like understand how terrifying the wild area is.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just going to, it'd be like if you were in New York, got off a taxi and you walk down a side street and there's a ride on. Like, what do you do at that point? Like, what do you do?
You fight it. You fight it with your bare hands.
Crazily enough, I know where exactly in the wild area she is because of where that ride on spawns.
Mm.
It's on that. Yeah. I can't remember the name of the various areas of the wild area right now, but mm-hmm. it's that like southern, that like southwestern point, past the bridge where the desert area kind of starts.
Yeah.
Right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm just very impressed. Also, at the end, we do get a little snippet of Hop watching mm-hmm. TV and his Wooloo. Literally has no interest in what he's doing. Wooloo's like falling asleep and like drifting away, and Hop's like, oh my God, oh my God, Wooloo. Wooloo's like, I'm out. I'm done with this.
Which has me excited for the next episode to follow Hop.
Yeah,
because I really like Hop.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole thing about Hop having watched the battle or something and being like, I got to go. I got to trade. And then he's going to have like 12 different existential crises before the episode's over.
And then the series will end with Hop beating the sick kid and finally getting some like self-worth.
Oh, wow.
And then the kid dies.
Man, wow. Hoffer.
Jesus,
I'm
Hoffer.
Singing. Listen,
you're in a very dark mood today.
Look, I get it.
Always in a dark mood.
Look, we don't like Rose, Chairman Rose, right? And so we have said before that, you know, when we talked about the first episode, that we do not appreciate the humanization of Rose given what we know about that crazy madman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But still a touching moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still a touching moment, and also he needs to get a haircut. That weird asymmetric thing needs to go, man. Needs to go. Like when he does like a hair flip and starts like twirling it, and it's like Elena, this is on you. Like you are his personal assistant.
But here's the
thing. Is unacceptable.
Elena in both of these, like she just looks sedated.
Yeah.
She just looks
she
is checked out. Emotionless or on something because she just looks checked out.
I'm interested to see if they'll do anything further with her in this you know little anime miniseries, especially given how she progresses.
Do we know how many episodes this is?
Seven episodes.
Seven? Okay.
Yeah. So
and one per month.
Yeah. So I'm sure the next episode will have to do with Hop, but like I'm curious. I really want. We were teased when, like, the first announcement of this Twilight Wings series came out that we were going to get, like, a Nessa moment, which I want because Nessa's my girl. I'm just interested just to see a whole bunch of stuff.
I guess I imagine at this point they'll probably just make their way through the gym leaders.
Maybe. I mean, there's only seven episodes, though, and there's, like, 10 gym leaders in this.
I mean, but given how emotional these have been, there is no way that these go anywhere near the crazy, like
chubby Pikachu.
No, that they go down the crazy Rose route and show how awful of a person he is.
Oh, that's this will all be done to like somewhat quasi justify his like heel turn. Like, oh, the sick kid needs, like, there was a temporary power outage that had nothing to do with energy shortages.
Oh,
I must
God.
Destroy the world. That's, you know, there was a temporary power outage, sick kid dies, he goes dark.
Oh.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be great, whatever it is. I mean, we know this is at some point gonna get sad. Wow. I'm not sure exactly what
it's called. It's Twilight Wings. Like, there's no chance in heck that everyone lives through this.
Yeah.
Like, Twilight
Literally
Wings,
angels.
Someone is dying. That little kid is destined for
Man,
the
I did
great
not,
Pokemon
I did
farm
not
want to
put
sky.
Those. I did not want to put that equation together, but
yeah, someone's dying. Fortunately, it's probably that kid.
Good lord!
But I don't know.
Well,
I'm excited to see what's next.
Yeah, no.
As long as it's not immediate death.
How do you
like
come
someone's
going to
get
that one?
Someone's going to die. I can't wait to see what happens, guys.
Yeah, who's going to die? Very much like a Saw moment here.
Let's just go to the Pokemon fact of the week. Let's...
Yeah, that's the segue.
Oh man. So we're continuing our little jaunt through the Pokedex, and this week we're to one of my favorites, Paris and Parasect.
They're now, really one of your favorites?
Well, only because of this horrifying Pokemon fact.
Okay. So before knowing this fact, you did not care.
Well, I've known this one for a while. This one isn't like it's like some deep obscure secret. A lot of people hypothetically should know this. The actual like Pokemon is not the bug. We're all aware of that, right?
I was not, but go.
Yes. So this Pokemon is based off a real life mushroom that is called the zombie. You know, it's called like the zombie fungus, and it basically takes over the nervous system of bugs and controls them. And that's literally what's on Parasect's back. So the bug itself is now just a lifeless husk, and the mushroom is calling the shots.
Is that why it has no pupils?
Yeah, that's why, because it's a dead bug.
It's
literally,
no.
This is a zombified host that's been taken over completely by the mushroom.
So the Pokemon is the mushroom.
Yes, it is. It is. They might not like officially say that. Like they're just like, oh, the mushroom controls it. But it's kind of like Wobbuffet's real head.
Right.
Like we know what the actual head is. Yeah. Like we know that the bug is simply just it's a host for the parasite or the Parasect. That's why it's called Parasect, by the way, guys, if you didn't put two and two together. Because it's a parasite. So yeah. Also, this fungus is actually used as a traditional medicine in China, and that gets referenced in multiple Pokedex entries. It's one of the few places where I've seen a real-life country get mentioned in the Pokedex.
It's like China because comes the up people who found out this fungus existed and made Parasect were like, wait, they use this? What?
Yeah, as
what
an
do they
aphrodisiac.
Use it for? Oh, no! I'm upset.
Yep.
Oh,
so in the Pokemon
ruined
world,
me. I loved that Pokemon when I was a kid. I thought it was like fancy because I connected Parasect with like Paris, and I was like, "Oh, this is a French Pokemon."
No,
I'm done.
No, it's a parasite. And in China, apparently, they breed Parasects, harvest them, and you know, use it as a aphrodisiac. So you know, those Pokemon get used in very unusual ways.
I am so genuinely upset and disgusted.
This is a good one. I like this.
Thank you. We've had a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
So I'll say between that and our last PokeFact of the week, which I still have nightmares about.
Okay.
Megan, did you know that Vileplume is a carnivorous Pokemon?
She's nodding in disapproval. But yes, Megan is well aware.
We're getting dark again, I see.
Yeah. Hey, I'm doing nothing. I am simply reporting the facts as we go down this list.
If you want more of those facts, check out our library. We've got 40 other episodes. I had to check my card to see what episode we were up to. Full of Pokemon facts. So each one at the very end. Some of them may even have, there may be some 2-for-1s in there as well.
And they will scar you.
Every Thursday is when this show shows up anywhere you can find podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, on the website, wherever. You can follow us all on Twitter. We will make sure to let you know when new episodes go live. You can find me at Jim Viscardi.
I'm on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I'm on Twitter at CHoffersCBus.
Tell all your friends about us. And if you really, really love the show, head on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. We haven't done them in a while, but if we read your review on the air, we'll send you a t-shirt. That's all you gotta do.
Jim keeps promising that we're gonna read them soon. So I'm sure that's why he's spending all his free time.
That's right.
Collecting those reviews.
Well, I'm just going to read all the ones that just say you're a terrible person.
Yeah, I know. There's actually one of those that exists, guys.
Anyway, we will catch you at the same time, same place next week. Catch you then.